Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Later this month, we'll begin this year's edition of 30 Issues in 30 Days, examining 30 issues relevant to the November elections. And we want to know what issues you think are important to discuss. Email your issue suggestions to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Please put the words 30 issues in the subject line. I'll tell you right now, we will be doing honest elections and voter access in that series, so you don't even have to suggest that one. But any issues that you think are important to discuss, email your issue suggestions to Brian Lehrer Show at WNYC.org. Please put the word 30 issues in the subject line, as we want to do this in a kind of open source way as we get ready for this year's edition of 30 Issues in 30 Days, examining 30 issues relevant to the November elections in the weeks leading up to those votes. Well, we've watched on television young 20-somethings frolic in beach houses on MTV's The Real World and seen a variety of thorny characters battle it out on deserted islands. And now the Sundance Channel has been airing young legislative aides battling it out in the halls of Capitol Hill. This month, the 6-part documentary series The Hill has been airing on the Independent Channel and follows the mostly professional lives of 4 aides to Congressman Robert Wexler of Florida's 19th District. Joining me this morning are the director of the documentary, Ivy Mirapol, and Congressman Robert Wexler's legislative director, Jonathan Katz. Welcome both to WNYC. Hello.
Hi there.
How you doing?
Thanks, Brian.
Ivy, what led you to the idea of following legislative aides around Capitol Hill?
Well, I worked for Congressman Wexler's predecessor, who is a congressman named Harry Johnston. And it was, you know, a period of my early 20s when I was completely caught up in the politics of the time and it was just a very exciting place to be in your 20s, and when you're that open-minded to new things and idealistic and having an opportunity to act on those strong beliefs. And I just felt like it was a great setting to tell a story of young people today who are actually doing something to act on their beliefs.
As to why you picked Congressman Wexler, a Florida Democrat, I've heard that this clip that we're about to play has something to do with it, and it's not a clip from The Hill. It's a clip from the Colbert Report, where Congressman Wexler was kind of, you know, he was joking around with Colbert, and he was kind of coaxed into saying, as a goof, that he enjoyed cocaine and prostitutes and thought, you know, people should vote for him for that reason. The clip was edited and used against him on news channels elsewhere. Yeah. But let's listen to that famous clip.
I enjoy cocaine because
I enjoy cocaine because it's a fun thing to do.
I enjoy the company of prostitutes for the following reasons.
Oh, sure. Because it's a fun thing to do.
Okay. Much like cocaine.
Much like cocaine. If you combine the two together, it's probably even more fun.
Wow.
Now, that was a somewhat edited and squashed version of that, too, to fit into this show. But the context of that, Jonathan Katz, I'll bring you in on that.
Sure.
I think, and I didn't see the original, you know, as it aired, but wasn't Colbert asking Wexler about being in a safe district where he barely has any opposition?
Well, I think he was referring to the fact that the congressman is running unopposed. And I think in jest he said, you know, what could you possibly say? You know, just in terms of humor that could possibly get you in hot water. And I think from the congressman's perspective, he's got a wonderful sense of humor. The Colbert Report is is about humor, and the congressman was just having some fun with Mr. Colbert, and I think that's people who know the congressman know his sense of humor and know exactly what that segment was about, and it was just about having fun, and obviously there were some people who took it a little bit too far out of context.
And so, Ivy, did that have anything to do with choosing Robert Wexler?
No, because really, we had wrapped shooting by then, Brian.
Oh.
I can't say that it hurt us in the end because Congressman Wexler's name was all over the place.
Brought a lot of cable television attention to this particular subject of your documentary.
Exactly, exactly. Not necessarily, you know, what people, you know, people expected to find, you know, one Congressman Wexler that they saw in the Colbert Report. They'd be, you know, surprised to find a different Congressman Wexler on our show. But at the same time, as Jonathan said, he's got a great sense of humor, so he's a very appealing person to follow, and you know, on many levels, he's kind of a maverick Democrat. So we see him going up against his own party as well as fighting the Republican leadership, and it's dramatic.
Let's play a clip from The Hill. In these 30 seconds, we'll hear the staff debate how Democrats and Wexler should approach the issue of Social Security.
Do you feel like we're making big decisions? We should be saying, let the president come out with this plan and react to it. Your people don't trust the president, but I think someone in your district with your constituency can do this.
Yeah, but they aren't.
Virtually without a problem, and in fact look courageous for doing it. And some Democrats will distance themselves from it, but Wexler's saying no benefit cuts. It's the Social Security Forever Act. This fixes it for good with never cutting
name.
A benefit.
Yeah, that's a good name.
Yeah, right.
A clip from the summer series on the Sundance Channel. The Hill, maybe you've seen it, maybe you want to react to it, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. For the director of the series, Ivy Meeropol, and Congressman Robert Wexler's legislative director, Jonathan Katz. This is all shot in Congressman Wexler's office and among his staff primarily. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or email Brian Lehrshow at WNYC.org. And so, Ivy, do you consider this kind of public affairs, letting the public know how the sausage of policymaking is cooked, or what?
Yes.
What's the point there?
Yes, absolutely. I think in some ways, this is extension of the public service that Congressman Wexler and his staff perform, because they were willing to open their doors to the cameras. It's not an easy thing to do, and in part because, as Congressman Wexler has said in other interviews, to take the mystery out of the process. I mean, a lot of people have no idea how it works, and a lot of people have no idea that it's a relatively young group of people who drive the engine. So.
And Mr. Katz, why did Congressman Wexler and you on his staff allow the Sundance Channel to film so much? Was there some risk in this?
Clearly there's risk, but I think Ivy is talking about, I think, the essence of what took place. First of all, I mean, they did a phenomenal job, and I think providing constituents and Americans across the country with sort of an inside view of what Congress does, and I think there's a great disconnect. So I think from our perspective, this was an opportunity to allow the American public to come into a congressional office, see firsthand what staffers do, but what members of Congress do, and the issues that we're talking about. So I think this is an educational tool, and we hope that that everyone across the country has an opportunity to see firsthand how government works and what Congress does. So, yeah, there was some political risk, but I think that it was worthwhile in order for the public to see what we do.
Well, Jonathan, one conclusion that people who watch the series in toto may come away with is that a lot of time is spent on drafting press releases. So how important is a press release to the actual policymaking process, in your opinion, to the process of getting legislation passed?
Well, I think, first of all, the communication aspect of any congressional office is extremely important. A press release is just one small portion. And if you look, if you're watching the documentary, you'll see, you're just talking about the Social Security issue itself. We had to draft the legislation. We worked with many different organizations to try to get the right language. We work with groups back in our district. So while you see some portions, you may see a press release going out regarding that specific issue. There's a whole lot of discussion of policy research, of work with different organizations to get things done. But communications is an important aspect to it. In addition, I think Ivy will tell you as well, they shot, I think, over, Ivy, was it over 200 hours?
Yeah, roughly 250 hours of footage we shot. So, you know, of course, you know, we wanted to make this something that's entertaining and fun to watch. We also wanted to be appealing to younger viewers especially. So the kind of longer, drier, drawn-out policy discussions were extremely truncated. And
right.
Sometimes the, you know, pushing of the press release to get out is a little, you know, has a, you know, bit of a more dramatic. But, you know, that's the politics and the policy are completely intertwined. There's absolutely, you know, you don't get your policies through unless you're good at the politics.
So 250 hours of shooting for what, 6 hours of programming total?
Not even 3 hours. We got half hour episodes.
Half hour episodes, right. That's a lot of memory chips left on the cutting room floor. Let's play another clip. And the congressman, Congressman Wexler, Democrat of Florida, actually changed his viewpoint over the war in Iraq. He was one of three Democrats to vote for a Republican up or down vote on John Murtha's plan to pull out. Let's take a listen to a clip about that, the staff debating a hearing on the war in Iraq from the Hill.
I mean, this is the only time that Democrats get to talk about Iraq in the committee. I look back at the schedule. We have not had one hearing on Iraq in the 109th Congress.
We just haven't had a hearing in such a long time that it's important to bring
in. There hasn't been a hearing?
No. We never have a committee where Democrats or anybody who has concerns about what's happening in Iraq can ask questions to the administration.
Do you have any thoughts on a hearing on Iraq?
It's a little strange to go a year with an international relations committee and not having a hearing on a war that we're in, isn't it?
Jonathan Katz, take us behind that scene a little bit.
Obviously the Iraq war and what we consider to be the administration's both, you know, failed policy, failed plans in Iraq is something that is on the topic of every congressional office in every congressional district and for every American. And I think that at least from the perspective of our office, we were deeply concerned about the oversight of the administration's prosecution of our efforts in Iraq. And in that particular scene, the discussion was about a lack of a congressional hearing. And at that, up to that point, during the shooting, the House International Relations Committee had not held a hearing for 2 years on the Iraq war and the administration's efforts there. And from our perspective, that was unacceptable. One of the most important policy issues facing Congress and the American people should be open and out front. Hearings should be held. And I think from that particular discussion right there is whether or not we should be pushing to have that hearing, which we did do that, along with others urging the Republicans in the House International Relations Committee to hold a hearing at that point.
And why did
Iraq continues to be the most important issue, I think, on the agenda of most Americans, and I think the congressman's position on that reflects where the American public is today.
And why did Congressman Wexler become one of only three Democrats to vote with the Republicans? I mean, here's this cocaine smoke, sniffing, prostitute. No, I'm kidding. But why did he go with the Republicans on that?
You know, listen, it was an opportunity from our perspective to lay our opposition to the president's policy in Iraq. And if, you know, obviously we were just talking about press releases, but if you go to what we wrote about in our press release, also I think in an op-ed as well in our local newspapers, we spelled out why we were opposed to the president's policy. From our perspective, the vote that day was a vote saying, no, we do not accept the president's policy. We think that, you know, the prosecution of the war has been negligent, to say the least, and this was an opportunity for us to protest the administration's policies and an opportunity for the congressman to say that there needs to be a new direction. You're either voting for the president's policy in Iraq or you're voting for a new direction, and that was our opinion, our perspective when it came time for that vote.
Brian, this continues to be relevant today. I mean, this is, you know, they're sending out Republicans to continue to attack Congressman John Murtha, who I think episode 6 will be very illuminating for many viewers, because we really get to see from the beginning to the end what happened. Murtha made his announcement. He wants the troops to be withdrawn, and then the Republican leadership of the House, in a very manipulative fashion, comes up with this resolution that really is going nowhere, and people are going to get to see how, just what it was they were up to, trying to make Democrats vote for the war, essentially. And Wexler, you know, made a very, I mean, we get to see him grappling with this. I mean, there's big arguments in the office with this, among the staff, among the, with the congressmen. What are they going to do? Because the Democratic leadership has said, you know, all Democrats have to vote no on this. And Wexler makes this, you know, pretty strong stance.
When does this episode 6 air?
Episode 6 will air. Let me see.
And while she's looking it up, yeah, I'll tell you that we have a few minutes left with Ivy Meeropol, director of The Hill, the series on the Sundance Channel this summer that's been kind of the real world of a congressman's office.
Congressman, not quite as salacious.
And Jonathan Katz, legislative director for that congressman, Robert Wexler, Democrat from Florida.
That's September 27th, Wednesday, September 27th at 9 o'clock.
Jonathan, by the way, most of the staffers, as we see in this documentary, are rather young, which leads me to two questions. One, this is kind of a snow bunnies district, isn't it? That is, there are a lot of elderly folks in Congressman Wexler's district. And two, what's the lifespan of an aide if, you know, almost everybody seen there is so young?
Well, first, in terms of our district, we actually have the second largest group of Social Security recipients in the country. So that should tell you a little bit about the demographics of our district in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And yes, the you know, what's really amazing is that you have these extraordinarily talented 20-somethings. I'm actually in my 30s, so maybe I'm over the hill.
You're the elder statesman.
Yeah. And but you really have tremendous talent, and I look at it as almost a training ground too for a lot of America's most brightest policymakers to come to the Hill to gain valuable experience in all sorts of policy areas, and then take that policy experience either staying in Washington or going back to their home states or to other cities and states across the country and bringing their expertise. But the average life of a Hill staffer is only a few years. The pace is intense. The hours are extremely long. I think people have a certain endurance for that on the Hill. But it is extremely exciting. And the opportunities, I think, for 20 and 30-somethings on the Hill is amazing.
The pay is not great, but the opportunity for stardom on the Sundance Channel.
Yes, that's right.
We just have 30 seconds left. Jonathan, you're in Florida the day after the state's primary, and the big news is that Katherine Harris won the Republican primary to run for Senate against Senator Bill Nelson, having all this stuff surrounding her, including even losing the party's support. In 20 seconds, what does this say about the electorate of the Sunshine State?
Well, she has about 100% name recognition. I don't speak for Republicans, but she's obviously well known in the state, and she probably won on name recognition alone.
All right, Jonathan
that,
Katz.
Democrats, we have a great candidate in Bill Nelson.
Jonathan Katz from Congressman Wexler's office. We have to leave it there. And Ivy Meeropol, director of The Hill on the Sundance Channel, which continues on Wednesday nights. Thank you both very, very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.